It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is now campfire talk time, and Mr. Larry Wysoon, I hear him, he's got something kind of comical on his mind over here. I hear him across the campfire chuckling, and are you ready to talk some hunting and fishing this morning?
Absolutely. You know, one of these days we're going to have to tell the real story about some of the things that happened whenever you and I get together. I mean, we've told a few stories. I think we'll have to kind of wait on this.
I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell our listeners.
I think it's appropriate.
It's appropriate. Folks, you have heard Larry and I tell about some comical things, like getting locked in a deer blind together one time, and where the hasp fell, and you know we were trapped. Well, we were doing our campfire talk, and there, all of a sudden, through the system here that we do it on, the recording system, there's a loud buzz. And I thought, my gosh, what's the matter? I lost him, you know, and I heard something rattling in the other the house. My wife's cat had ran through the connecting wire that made campfire talk work. And Larry, we better get serious with her so our listeners can hear something. But ironically, we were talking about a recent predator hunting contest where Hoffpower Company, I guess would be the way to put it, Larry, and Lone Star Outdoor News hosted a predator contest, last weekend that you helped them organize and you were present there, right?
They did. I've been doing things, of course, occasionally with David Sams with Lone Star Outdoor News, and then High Power Auto Group that's headquartered there at County Land Passes. I mean, a lot of folks may not know that. I mean, they've got some of the best vehicles, and they're the ones I do a lot of work with when it comes to the time whenever I need a vehicle. But they also have an outdoor store and an archery shop, and they sell a lot of guns and all this. And not too terribly long ago, Jason Maroney, who works with Lee Hoffpower, called me and says, we want to do a predator-type hunt. You know, would you help us with this a little bit? So I got him in touch with Hornady, and Hornady agreed to provide a box of appropriate ammo for anybody that entered the contest, and talked to a couple of other people, and then next day I got a call from David Sams. David says, hey, who has a Lone Star Outdoor News, and he goes, you know, we're going to be involved with this too. So, I mean, it turned out to be a really big deal, and they had an absolutely great weekend with the cold and all that, and as it worked out, they had 103 teams that were entered into the predator calling contest, and that's quite a few people when you think about it, because it can be up to four people per team. And
oh yeah,
in visiting with several of the contestants that were there, they were telling me that they knew of at least four other contests going on right now that same weekend, and so when you take that in consideration, I mean, It's an interesting thing, because the way this one was set up, we've done with Los Cazadores back when I was part of the Los Cazadores hunting headquarters down in Pearsall. We sold our store back in October, but what we would do is the contest would start like at noon. You had to pre-register and with the teams and all that, and basically you hunted. Some of them were set up for 2 days, some of them were set for 1 day, some of them were set for almost a week in some instances, but what you do is come in, everybody register, and then you have, in that instance, the way they did it, they had a weigh-in where you weighed every predator that was taken, and some of the guys would come in with coons, and they had several different regulations involved with it, but I'm sure the people that are serious in terms of doing these predator-type competitions are aware of that. They had coons brought in. They had foxes and bobcats and coyotes, and it was a great amount. I didn't get to see who actually won. I was there, but I was busy with other things. But I think they had, and they were doing a weigh-in where each animal was put in the pot, and the pot knew what size it was and weighed. And I think the overall team brought in something like 92 or 94 pounds of the predators. And when you consider that, you know, a cow probably weighs maybe 30 pounds, the bobcats, they were in the 20s, and raccoons, I mean, all this, what it amounts to is these guys had an absolutely great amount of fun. They had an opportunity. I saw everything from husband and wives to sons and daughters and grandparents and aunts and uncles, you know, part of the team. And everybody that I talked to just had an absolutely great time at it. So apparently it's something that's got to be really, really popular, not just the Predator calling, but also the contests that they're having these days.
You bet. You know, I've talked to some buddies that up in Northeast Texas that are, there's an ongoing wild hog contest.
Right.
You know, I guess it's not sure exactly how, whether it's big hog or what, but it's, there's all kind of predator and hog contests going on right now. And you know, you look at the outdoors, humans have a tendency to look at predators, good or bad, but they're part of the natural scheme. But in reality, you know, the way I see it, predators, they, if they're not controlled, you know, they'll get the, like deer, for instance. I don't know, coyotes, or they prey heavily on the fawn crop. So if we didn't control the predators, well, I think it would get everything out of balance, wouldn't it? You know,
it does. I mean, nature is an interesting balance, and I mean, it's like a pendulum that swings from one side to the other side, and when things are really good for all involved, it's when that pendulum is kind of down at the bottom. But we've gone through a stage here the last year or two, or last several years now, where we've had a very severe drought over much part of Texas. Vegetation got eaten down. When things started returning in terms, because of the rainfall that we had just this huge prey base of rats and mice and rabbits and all these kind of things in almost too great of an abundance. And then the predator population built up. And right now we're kind of at an all-time high on predators, and what's going to happen here before too long, if we don't control some of the predators that are out there, their numbers are high, so high, we start seeing serious diseases develop in them, such as distemper and some of the other things that are, you know, that are very common in some of the domestic dogs and cats kind of thing. And we'll lose a tremendous amount of those. So by controlling the numbers through some of these hunts like this, we keep nature more in balance to where we don't have those severe die-offs that we might otherwise have. And again, that's very big part of why we hunt predators.
Exactly. And, you know, I have noticed, we've talked many times about the couple of hundred acres with real close to my house where I spend a lot of time. I'm out there just about every day walking and checking trail cameras and everything. But I've been here lately, I've been hunting in the evening at night for hogs. And right now there is a bunch of pigs, baby pigs from, looks like two days old to 2 weeks old. But the old, I haven't actually seen them come in while I was hunting, but I've checked my cameras. There's about four sows down there that I found. And I don't think they're, you know, I don't think they're roving, traveling hogs. I think they're living in this slough close by, because these little pigs, they couldn't cover that much distance. But
no.
But I have heard, I've never seen a coyote or a pack of coyotes prey on the small hogs, but I have heard it. At one time I was, oh gosh, I bet I wasn't 60 yards from commotion back in the brush, and you could hear the big hogs, you know, grunting and squealing, and I know what happened. You know, there's, and I heard a couple of, sound like two or three coyotes, I couldn't tell, more than one had run into that pack.
You're right. Uh-huh. Sometimes two coyotes can sound like 20 of them.
Exactly. But they prey on, and the hogs, you know, as much as we love to hunt and eat hogs, you know, I make ham and sausage out of them, but they have to be kept in check too. But they're, you know, this is the time of year when the predator hunting is at its best. It's the time when the hogs have to really scuffle around. A lot of the old soured acorns and stuff, things that they feed on, the hogs, they have to be up and about. So
they do. Right now is an absolute great time to spend time outside. I mean, you know, I love deer hunting, but I love the predator calling, because everywhere I go, I carry a mouth-blown predator call with me. And if I may not shoot them, every place I go when I do call one in, try to photograph them and just see kind of what's there. But right now is a perfect time to do that. And two, just like you were saying, if you're trying to increase the deer population, right now is a great time to go in there and try to remove some coyotes and bobcats so that those fawns have a better chance of survival a little bit later on and when they start hitting the ground. So there's a lot of good things to be doing right now, a lot of good things to be doing for wildlife.
It is, Larry. Raccoons. Coons is one thing. At this contest that you were talking about, Hofpower that they put on,
yes, sir.
You could, the total weight, it sounds like. And I swear here, raccoons, I guess because of the southern fur prices, you know, down this way, but there's not a lot, there's just an overabundance just about everywhere I go of coons.
Oh, there is.
And,
there
you know,
is.
I mean, and you see that too, I guess, you know.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll tell you what, and the thing about it is, all those populations, those wild populations, particularly like raccoons and things like that, there's several reasons to try to control them. I mean, you know, of course, the coon is going to prey on a lot of small animals and all those kind of things. But two, if you don't control that population and it reaches an extremely high point, then all of a sudden we have diseases that come in like distemper that will kill a whole lot of those animals, kill far more than what hunters would ever do. And it really hits that population. And then, too, you have to consider that rabies is something that runs rampant occasionally as well, too. And so that's another reason why we need to try to keep some kind of handle on the those wild populations like foxes and bobcats and coyotes and raccoons and even some of the other predators that are out there. So, you know, it does those animals good as well, too, even though we say we're killing them, we're saving that population by doing it.
Right. You know, Larry, I've read and noticed that we're in an area with a lot of coyote. There's hardly ever a large population of fox.
You're right.
You know, and then
on
up through to the wolves, right, where there are, I guess, up north, the coyotes. There's one one of those will be dominant, right?
Absolutely, and I mean, that's exactly what happens. They're dominant to the fact, too, that they're more efficient in terms of taking prey. And I mean, there's no doubt that coyotes will prey on foxes. I mean, and wolves will prey on coyotes as well, too, when that opportunity presents itself. So you're right. I mean, very seldom when you have a lot of foxes do you see many coyotes, and then when you have a lot of coyotes, you very seldom see many foxes.
Exactly. Larry, this was an interesting campfire visit. I enjoyed, always like to talk about that. But Hofpower, hats off to those guys for organizing this tournament. It's going to help it's a lot of fun, put it that way. But also, you know, it's going to help come fawning time in you know,
exactly.
June. It's going to help the deer.
And I know that they're already planning one for next year, and I'll tell you what, quite frankly, I've dealt with a lot of different people. Lee Hofpower, as a car dealer, outdoor store dealer, you know, but as an individual, I'll tell you what, that guy does more for wildlife than anybody I know of that's in that kind of business. It's amazing the amount of dollars that he has invested in such organizations as Boys and Girls Club and the Houston Safari Club, Dallas Safari Club, particularly the Texas Wildlife Association.
Yeah,
I mean, Lee's been a great supporter of those. So, you know, anybody looking for a car, I hate to sound like a commercial, but anybody looking for a car or a pickup or even some outdoor type stuff, they live anywhere in the central part of the state, they really need to go by and see Lee Hofpower's outfit and visit with him a little bit.
Well, hats off, Larry, for all he's done. Larry, we are out of time. I will remind everybody, Trailing the Hunter's Moon, Thursday is the prime time. I know that,
yes,
Thursday
sir.
Evenings. And you and I will be right back here with everyone this time next week, right?
Yes, we will.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Texas Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.